This episode is brought to you by the ebook Revelatory Combat by Ryan LaStrange. Revelatory Combat is a concise look into the prophetic ministry and the partnership between prophets and apostles. It provides clarity for the battle facing the church in this hour. Ryan LaStrange and Charisma Magazine are proud to offer you a year-long subscription of Charisma Magazine, as well as the download of Revelatory Combat for only $20. If you'd like to take part of this offer, be sure to visit combat.charismamag.com or call 1-800-749-6500 and mention the word combat.
This is the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network. One daily news story well told. I'm Jenny Rose. Allie Tower thought she had all she needed when she was practicing witchcraft. But when she encountered the love of Jesus, everything changed. Today's interview with Allie is certainly a special one, although I should mention it was recorded over the phone and not in studio. So because of that, I apologize for the lower quality than you're used to on this show, but I think you'll agree with me that Allie's story is golden. So stay tuned.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the show. Today on the phone, I have with me Allie Tower, and she is actually an ex-witch who is now a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. So Allie, do you want to just say hi to our listeners and maybe tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Allie Tower. And I'm an ex-witch saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen is right. He has done wonderful things in my life, and it didn't start out that way. I was involved in the witchcraft for a while. I wrote two books. One is about my experience coming out of witchcraft myself, and the other is a book that talks about witchcraft to the church. So for those who are looking for some information to find out about what witchcraft is and what people do or don't do and how to witness to those who are involved, this is the type of book that you would want to read. And it also has a lot of testimonies. We have 12 other testimonies of other ex-witches who are saved by Jesus.
Wow, that's amazing. And what are the titles of those books?
The first one is It's Taken from the Night, A Witch's Encounter with God. And that's my personal story. Mm-hmm. And the other one is From the Craft to Christ. And that's the one that shares the testimonies of the other ex-witches as well.
Gotcha. Awesome. So I really am excited to dive into your testimony. Can you start by telling me how you even got involved in witchcraft to begin with?
Sure. I was a Christian, actually, at the time. And things weren't going exactly how I had planned. I had grown really weary in my faith, actually. Things weren't happening. My marriage was actually deteriorating. It was falling to pieces financially. Things were ruined. I was depressed, and all the prayer and counsel just didn't seem to be doing anything. I got to a point where I felt like I was abandoned, like God had just kind of left me. I began to doubt the Word of God, which was really a very crucial thing, because that led to my unbelief. And then once I was in a place of unbelief, I was open to so many other spiritual entities that were out there. And so what happened was I was in this really desperate place. I came across a book that had been in my house for years. My husband had brought it in when we got married, but I never read it. It was about an ex-Satanist. And I sat down and I read this story. And for the first time, to me, it was like, I don't believe that this is the true story of what he's saying. Because I was in, you know, a state of unbelief and doubt, I was curious. I wanted to know the truth. So I went to the library and I got all kinds of books on the occult, and I began to read them to find out what the truth was. When I did that, I came across this book about Wicca. Hmm. And then, you know, when I read the book, it talked about a nature-based religion, about living in harmony with all of nature. And harmony is something that I had wanted at the time, because my life was just chaos. It was just very, you know, depressing at the time. So, and then it also spoke about being in like a feminine state of mind, rather than, and the focus on the goddess spirituality, rather than males who, to me at that time, seemed as though they were doing anything but help me. They were dragging me down, so to speak. So I went ahead and I read the book, and I came home that night, and I was doing some dishes, and the moon was outside. It was a full moon. It was this big, gigantic full moon, and it just seemed so bright. I couldn't resist. I had to go outside, and I had to go take a look at it. I just felt like it was drawing me for some reason, and I went outside. I stood beneath it, and from the little bit I knew from the book that I had read, I called on the goddess, and I asked for wisdom of witchcraft, because at that point, you know, Wicca wasn't quite as prominent as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really think there was any witches left. I thought they all, like, died years ago. And so I just asked for knowledge in witchcraft. And this energy just kind of, like, flowed through me.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it was just, like, went right on through me. And I knew right then and there that, like, I had just touched on something that was going to change my life. And I went inside. My kids even said that, like, they were saying, "Mommy, why is your face glowing?" So it's just like it really affected me physically as well as, you know, mentally and spiritually. The next day I went to the store and I was looking in the magazine, and in the back of the magazine I saw this article and this little ad for a school of witchcraft. And it said for seekers to, you know, contact this address. And I did. And then that was the start of it. I began my training in witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so you got involved in Wicca, not in mm-hmm. other types of witchcraft then?
Right. So I was involved in Wicca. Mm-hmm. Now, Wicca is more like the philosophy or the religion part of witchcraft. Witchcraft itself is an act. It's really magic. It's the act of magic. Mm-hmm. And many witches, different kind of witches, will use witchcraft. In fact, Wiccans, all of them don't do witchcraft. There's some that do and there's some that don't.
Okay. How do Wiccans use witchcraft in a way that's different from, say, a Satanist uses witchcraft?
Okay. So with Wicca, I guess I should start with this, saying magic is neutral. It's neither white nor black. It's not good. It's bad. It's just considered neutral. It's the intent of the practitioner that and the purpose that it's used for that makes it good or bad. It all comes from the same source. Now, of course, from a Christian perspective, we know now that the enemy is one who's behind that source.
Right.
But for those who are practicing witchcraft, they don't recognize that. So to them, it's not, you know, the source is just the natural energy. And, but it's considered neither good nor bad. It depends on who uses it. So it's all the same source of energy. Wiccans tend to keep on a more positive mindset. So when they do magic, they do things for the good of all. They do things that are going to help either themselves or their family, their neighborhood, the earth. Whereas, those who are Satanists, and I know just a little about Satanists. I don't pretend to be someone who knows a lot about Satanism. Mm-hmm. But those who are Satanists, they focus on self and, you know, their goal to enlighten their self. And it doesn't matter whether they harm someone else or you know, whatever it takes to get them to be more enlightened is where they're at. So their magic tends to go into places that are dark and you would consider, like, you know, we would consider evil, or that, you know, is for purposes that are not to benefit people.
Mm-hmm. So was your experience in Wicca and in dealing with witchcraft, was it always positive? Was there ever a time when it wasn't positive for you?
Yeah, there were times that, you know, we say that it's positive magic, and for the most part it was. But there were certainly times that we did banishings, and banishings, you know, can be, you know, it said that it could be for good, and it could be for good in a sense if you're thinking in terms of banishing a bad relationship where, you know, you're in a situation where you have an abusive boyfriend. Obviously, that's a good thing to get out of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there were also times that we did things that were, you know, definitely teetering on the edge there of what I would consider, like, not positive.
Right. So then you never had any, like, encounters with the demonic realm while you were doing witchcraft?
Well, I wanted to say that there wasn't, like, okay, we invoked spirits. Mm-hmm. We invoked the elements, and we invoked the god and goddess. Now, from a Christian perspective, they are demons.
Okay.
But, okay, at the time, I wouldn't have said that I was invoking demons. I would have said mm-hmm. I was invoking deities.
Right.
Okay. But there were still, you know, I wouldn't say that I ever had encounters with the spiritual side, because I did, you know, whether it be animals or actual spiritual entities, you know, yes, there was definitely that type of interaction. It's just that I didn't consider it as a bad thing.
I got you. So how long were you involved with witchcraft?
Started out first doing studies through the school and being a solitary practitioner, which mm-hmm. just basically means that I was practicing on my own. And then I later became part of a coven. I was part of the coven for over 10 years.
Okay, so unpack for us what that means. What is it like to be part of a coven? Is it kind of like going to a church service, or what is it like?
Well, it's kind of like a church service in the sense that it's a group of people getting together, mm-hmm. but it's, I'd say, more equivalent to like a prayer meeting rather than like a church service. It's a group where different people will get together, and you come in, and we would do rituals. So the rituals were somewhat structured and then somewhat not structured. So we would all have a part. Everybody, that's one thing that I think in Wicca that really the church could use to gain from, because the early church did participate more, where instead of just being like a church service where you just went in and sat down and watched, you were actually a part of it. So everybody had a part. Everybody mm-hmm. had something to do. And no spectators. It was, you know, everyone who had some type of participation in the ritual. So during the ritual, it would be more of a, you know, a serious time when you were focusing on magic, or, you know, it depends what time of the year it was. Sometimes it was like a seasonal, there would be a holiday that we were celebrating. Mm-hmm. So the focus would be on that. And we would have just this time of a ritual, and then we would have magic where we would work any type of magic, any type of spells or anything of that nature that we were going to do. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we have a time of fellowship. And we would always have food, so we would, you know, all eat and just spend time together.
Okay. So what were some of the holidays that you guys celebrated? Was Halloween one of them?
Well, okay, so Halloween is the big topic, of course.
Yeah.
Halloween is the typical worldly view, or the worldly name. Witches practice, or they celebrate Samhain. Mm-hmm. And the relation really is more so of a timely thing, in that it falls near Halloween, but it's not really the same thing. The Samhain that witches practice is a time of the year when it is said that the veil between this world and the spiritual world is at its thinnest, so that there is the spirits that have gone on can actually come to and fro, so that they can come into our world as we know it and walk around and communicate and things of that sort. And it's supposed to be a time when a lot of witches will do divination, because mm-hmm. because of the veil being thin, it's supposed to be a time for good communication and contact to gain information in the future, or whatever it is that you're looking for.
Right. So it sounds like you had this peaceful time in witchcraft. You were in it for 10 years. You had mm-hmm. this fellowship with other fellow witches surrounding you. So how did Jesus end up pulling you out of that lifestyle?
he's just amazing. I was very content in where I was. I thought that I had found the perfect life, the perfect religion. To me, I just was, you know, I wasn't looking for anything. I thought that this was it. I had found it. I was happy where I was. But the pastor of the church that I used to go to, he was like a spiritual dad to me. We were really close at the time that I was in church. And we kept in contact a little bit over the years. We would talk by telephone, and it was always like a frustrating. I would always end up angry, and because of course he was always trying to share with me and lead me back, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was resisting, so it was always, you know, ended up in frustration. But I had actually did. We talk about a banishing. I had did a banishing because I felt like I couldn't move on into this spiritual realm of witchcraft as much as I wanted to, because I always had this thing in the back of my head about what the pastor had said or something he had told me, and it was just kind of there. So, you know, thank God for that. But right. At the time I wasn't, you know, too happy about it. So I had went in and I had did a banishing spell to get him out of my life so that I wouldn't have this influence stopping me from moving forward. And it was about a month later, and I wanted to contact him because I was just checking to see how well it worked.
Right.
And it was really strange because he told me that he was moving away, and all of a sudden this, like, deep sadness came over me because I realized, wait a minute, what did you do? Like, why would you want him completely out of your life, you know?
Right.
And I thought he would never speak with me again, and he was very hurt, and I do feel really, you know, bad because he was just extremely hurt. But what I thought he would tell me, he never wanted to ever speak with me again. Instead, he called me back about a week later, and he invited me back to church.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me there was this woman who was an ex-occultist, and she was going to be there, and he wanted me to meet her. It's the last place in the world I wanted to go, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Especially because the week that it was, we were having our public Samhain ritual, which was like a big party, really, like, it's like a wedding type of thing. It's big. And I knew that I would be coming home very late, and, you know, I just thought that it's not a place I want to go, but at the same time, I wanted to prove that, you know, well, God's not going to do anything, you know, because I'm going to be at a ritual all night. So I was determined to go at the same time. And I went to church the next day, and I got up and I went there. And as soon as I came in and sat down, I started to cry.
Wow.
And I had no clue why, because to me, everything was perfect in my life and I was happy and I had no reason to be upset. But I just cried through the whole first part of the service, all through worship. I just sat there and cried. And then when worship was over, this woman came up. She told me that Jesus loved me. And I'm saying to myself, you don't know I'm a witch. And then she came back and sat and held my hand. And she said, God told me to come sit down and hold your hand. And I'm thinking, why? Well, then the pastor goes on and he does his sermon, and his sermon, of course, was on Halloween, which, of course, was not resonating in my spirit too well at that point in time, and I was having a very difficult time with what he was saying. So she was holding me there. and then after that, you know, he was done with the sermon, and I thought, great, this is time to leave. But then he decided to leave the church in a prayer of warfare. And so I was like, that's it. I'm out of here. And I went up to leave, and the woman that they had wanted me to meet, the ex-occultist, was there. And she came over with a couple of the prayer team, and they started talking with me. Before I knew it, the church was over. It was cleared out. And here I am sitting in this little circle with these little cubicles around. And I'm, like, confined in this place. And they're praying. And they started to pray against demons that were in me, and honestly, I didn't want them to leave. So I was like, that's it, I'm out of here. And I ran out of the church. But I left my pocketbook and my keys. So I had to go back in. So when I went back in, I walked back in, and the pastor was standing there, and he just looked at me, and all he said was, You can't run from God. That's it. Simple words, five words. And I just stopped. And it just like, because I knew I couldn't. And I knew wherever I went, he was there. So I just stopped. And then we sat down and we talked. And I ended up giving my life back to Jesus.
Wow. That's such a beautiful story. So when you had that experience where you came back to the Lord, was it hard or was it kind of easy to leave witchcraft behind?
It was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. It took a while. It was a long walk. I didn't have any bad experience with Wicca. What happened was that day when I went to church and when I had went back in and I talked with the pastor, and when I prayed, I just felt this overwhelming love. The love of Jesus just mm-hmm. completely encompassed me. And it was that love that was so strong, I couldn't say no to it. I just couldn't say no. And that was the reason that I came back. It wasn't like there was anything that I wasn't happy with in Wicca. It was just that God's love was so strong, I couldn't say no. And so then when I had to walk out of the lifestyle, because to me, witchcraft was a lifestyle
right.
that I lived. It wasn't just, you know, something that I practiced on occasion. It was throughout the day. And so I had to change, you know, my whole way of life. It was more like one step forward, three steps back. And
yeah.
it took a while.
So what were some of the steps that you had to take in order to transition out of witchcraft into, you know, walking with Christ every day?
Well, the first thing that I think, you know, is that I had to understand that, you know, who Jesus was, because to me, you know, I had been in a place that, you know, he was considered like a prophet or a teacher, mm-hmm. you know, just not God. And so it was coming to grips with the fact that, you know, no, he's God. And I can't control my life anymore. I have to submit my life to him because I was used to doing what I wanted. It was no more what I wanted. It was what he wanted for mm-hmm. my life, you know. So there was a big transition in the way I thought, and certainly in the things that I did, because I was used to, you know, starting the day in meditation and doing spells and things
right.
of that nature. And now, you know, I had to come to a place where it was like, you know, I'm going to get up and pray instead, and I'm going to read the word and, you know, and develop my whole lifestyle in a different way. So there was a lot of changes that took place. And of course, over time, he dealt with different things in my life that had to go.
Yeah.
And that, you know, but it wasn't like all at once. It was more, you know, in my walk throughout time, there was just different things that came up that, you know, I had to let go of. One thing I had to do is get rid of all of the witchcraft paraphernalia that I still had in my house.
Right.
Because when I went to church that day, I wasn't expecting to becoming a Christian. So, you know, I had all of my tools and my books and my statues and everything were here. So there was a point when, you know, I got rid of all of those.
That makes total sense. So one thing that you mentioned that really stood out to me is just that you couldn't say no to the love of Jesus. What was it about the love of Jesus that filled you in a way that witchcraft couldn't?
It was so all-empowering. It mm-hmm. he just completely, like, you know, it's kind of like there's just nothing to me, you know. It was just, I guess, the sense of who he is and who I am, and I'm nobody next to him, you know. And it was just so overwhelming. It was just, you know, I never experienced a love to that magnitude
right.
in Wicca. I, you know, I experienced love between coven members, but not with any deity, you know,
yeah.
and not to that magnitude. It was just, you know, completely overwhelming.
Wow, that's so beautiful. So one thing you mentioned earlier in our interview was that
Wicca wasn't as much talked about then as it is now. Do you think that Wicca has grown more popular? Do you think it's grown larger in numbers nowadays?
Well, it's interesting because it's definitely more popular than it was in the very beginning when I started practicing it. And it's more readily available, especially with the internet.
Right.
I think that it's changed. It's fluid and it's adaptable. So, like, in today's generation, you know, back when I was practicing it, there was a lot of hard work that went into it. Nothing came easy. It was certainly not an easy practice. It was something that you had to study and you had to work at. And, you know, in order to obtain knowledge, there were things that you had to do. And nowadays, it's just, you know, you type it into the internet, you look it up.
Right.
It's like right at your fingertips. And there's no real, I don't believe the commitment is as great now as it was then. And I think that there's more solitaries, people practicing individually, or people that just maybe are practicing individually, but will get together with a couple other witches, you know. It's definitely not the same as it used to be. By today's standards, it's not a lot of people. I would not say a lot of people are doing it. There's definitely, like, the type of witchcraft that there is today. Back when I was involved, we would not have considered these people mostly as witches.
Right.
We would have thought that they were kind of more dabbling. Mm-hmm. Dabbling is a bad word in witchcraft, but but, you know, we would have thought they were more kind of experiencing with it a little bit here and there, but not really that they were witches, because to be a witch, you had to be initiated, and you had to be, you know, and you had to be part of a coven, or at least another witch who had trained you up. And now it's just a lot of people who just grab it on the internet and or read a book and begin to practice. So it's different. The commitment level is certainly not there, and a lot of it has changed over the years.
No, that totally makes sense. That does make sense, especially with such an increase in social media and things on television. I feel like witchcraft is a lot more promoted on television, and so people see it a lot more nowadays than they probably did several years ago. So I just want to ask you, what is it about witchcraft that draws people in? What about it drew you in?
Well, the thing that drew me in, I would say, is the fact of living in harmony, because in my life at the time was living in chaos. So
right.
I was looking for harmony. And the other thing was the fact of it being a goddess spirituality, because, you know, as I had mentioned, the men in my life I felt had kind of like let me down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to, you know, I felt God had let me down. So I didn't want to follow a religion that was male dominated. And the fact of a goddess spirituality was appealing to me. I think today with the kids nowadays, part of it would be more because it's fluid, because you can make it personable. You can make it your own thing. There's no absolutes. You know, there's just two laws that you follow. Other than that, you can incorporate anything you want into it. You can make it as much or as little as you want. So it's very adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the supernatural. I think there's a lot of, you know, teenagers, you know, you see that on television, you see it in the world around us, that there's this natural desire for people to want to know more about the unseen and things of, you know, the spiritual realm.
Right. That makes total sense. So if you were talking to someone who was right now in witchcraft, in Wicca, what would you wish that they knew about Jesus? What would you tell them about Jesus?
The biggest thing is I would want them to know is who he really is.
Mm.
I think part of the problem is a lot of people, and especially witches or Wiccans, a lot of them have had bad church experiences, or, you know, they've had situations where Christians to them have shown, you know, not the greatest example of who he is. And I know as the church we're supposed to be, you know, the arms and the feet of Christ, but many times in our own flesh we fail horribly at that.
That's
and
true.
So, yeah, so we're not really portraying who he really is. So a lot of them have this view of, you know, a God who's judgmental and who's harsh and careless and, you know, doesn't think very highly of mankind, when all of that is so false. And so I just really would want them to see the truth and to see Jesus for who he really is.
That's so good. And you mentioned this a little bit, but can you go more in depth with maybe answering how can we as Christians minister or reach out to people involved in witchcraft? What are the best strategies?
The best thing to do is to love them as Christ loves us. And again, that's a very hard thing to do, especially when someone is so against everything that you're for. But it certainly is a test of our faith. But the thing is that, you know, the best thing to do is to just be a friend and to really pray and allow God's Spirit to speak to you. And not to just, you know, turn them down, but to be open and kind to them, to use the fruits of the Spirit to be, you know, loving and compassionate and kind, and
yeah,
and to share with them when the Holy Spirit leads you to share. Like, not just to, you know, sometimes we want salvation for them, so we're a little bit over eager and we're ready to kind of like put them down, drag them in screaming if we have to, and that's just really going to cause what I consider like cinder blocks in the way. It's going to be things that are going to hinder them coming to Christ rather than to draw them to Christ. We have to be examples that they're going to look at us and say, hey, there's something different about that person and I want what they have. And they're not going to see that if we're, you know, judging them and telling them that what horrible things that they're doing. And I'm not saying that you say it's okay, because it's not okay.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you have to, like, you know, kind of jab it down somebody's throat. You have to, when the opportunity comes, and that's why as Christians it's so important for us to really be in touch with the Holy Spirit. Because if it's him speaking through us, it's going to be that sharp-edged sword. But if it's just us babbling, it's not going to go anywhere. In fact, it's going to do more harm than good.
That is so true. And that is such a good point. Like, focusing on love, focusing on the Spirit of God instead of just trying to change people. Because you're right. Like, we can't change people. Only the Spirit of God can change people. So fantastic, fantastic things that you shared today, Allie. So before we go, can you just share with us, where can our listeners find you on the web and where can they find you on social media?
Sure. On our website, we are at xwitch, that's x-witch.com. And on social media, we're on Facebook at S.A. Tower. Also, I'm on YouTube at S.A. Tower, and I guess that's it, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, Allie, thank you so, so much for taking the time out of your day to talk with me and to share your story. It's a beautiful story, so thank you so much.
Thank you. I just praise God for, you know, what he's done in my life, and I just continue to pray for those who don't know him and who are caught up in Wicca. And what I really, you know, just would like to end with, if that's okay with you.
Oh, absolutely, please.
Is Acts 26:18, where it says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. And the big thing, too, is just to, while you're in Wicca, your eyes are covered with this veil of deception, and you can't see the truth, and you can't see who Jesus really is, and you can't see the spiritual side of things. And so we just need to pray that that would be removed so that they would be able to see the truth.
Right. Amen. Thank you. Allie, it has been a pleasure to speak with you. And listeners, be sure to check out her website,
ex-witch.com. And be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News Story. This is Jenny Rose. Join me for another news story every weekday. God bless you.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.